made clear that if they chose a military path to power, that aid would disappear, and that is what occurred.
Growing worries about Afghanistan. It's Thursday, November 25th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Cascao in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Biden eyes lower gas prices. Farmers in India demand change. China talks about tennis star Pong. U.S. nursing care crisis. A look at the future in a D.C. museum. It's all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. Special Representative for Afghanistan Thomas West will head to Doha, Qatar next week for meetings with Taliban leaders, the State Department says. West told VOA the U.S. is deeply concerned about the humanitarian crisis in the country, as VOA senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain reports.
Conditions are dire in many parts of Afghanistan, with the United Nations World Food Program saying almost 24 million people, or 60% of the population, are suffering from acute hunger. State Department spokesperson Ned Price said U.S. Special Representative Tom West will discuss issues of vital U.S. national interest, including counterterrorism and humanitarian assistance, with Taliban leaders in 2 days of meetings in Doha, Qatar. In an exclusive interview with VOA Tuesday, West said Afghanistan's worsening humanitarian crisis has a lot to do with the loss of international aid. The Afghan economy depended on that aid to a large degree over 20 years. Thomas West, the U.S. Special Representative for Afghanistan, spoke with VOA on Tuesday.
Some 75% of the former government's public expenditures were foreign donor funded. Some 40% of the country's GDP was foreign donor funded. And so really in our engagement, and frankly in our allies and partners' engagement with the Taliban over a period of years, we made clear that if they chose a military path to power, that aid would disappear, and that is what occurred.
Last week, the Taliban's foreign ministry spokesperson called on the U.S. Congress to release Afghan assets frozen after the Taliban takeover of the country. He said the economic misery at home could prompt a mass exodus and refugee problems for other countries. West said it is not as simple as the Taliban might think to get aid that is frozen in the U.S. and other countries moving again. Here again, Thomas West, the U.S. Special Representative for Afghanistan, speaking to VOA.
There are very complicated legal reasons as well as judicial reasons for why that money is not moving from particular banks into other places.
There has been some localized progress towards U.S. and international demands for the Taliban to respect human and women's rights. Schools for girls from grades 7 to 12 have reopened in Afghanistan's third largest city, Herat. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
Find more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. In Myanmar, reporting becomes more difficult month by month. State Department official discusses chip shortage, Taiwan talks, and 5G trusted network. Hong Kong activists sentenced to 43 months under national security law. Report says China using forced Uyghur labor and exploiting complex supply chain. Rights advocates criticize arrest of Kashmir activists. Find complete coverage on all these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia on this Thursday. As Americans face high prices in stores and at the gas pump, President Joe Biden says he is taking key steps to lower gas prices by opening up strategic reserves and to ease the burden on consumers in other ways. VOA's Anita Powell reports from the White House.
Shopping and driving are as American as apple pie and Thanksgiving, and President Joe Biden knows it. According to a recent Washington Post ABC poll, a record number of Americans, 55%, disapprove of Biden's handling of the economy, as some states see record gas prices and inflation ahead of the holiday season. On Tuesday, Biden ordered the nation's Strategic Reserve to release 50 million barrels of oil. He said other major energy consumers, including India, the United Kingdom, and China, plan to do the same.
I've worked hard these past few weeks on calls and meetings with foreign leaders, policymakers, to put together the building blocks for today's global announcement. And while our combined actions will not solve the problem of high gas prices overnight, it will make a difference. It will take time, but before long, you should see the price of gas drop where you fill up your tank. And in the longer term, we will reduce our reliance on oil as we shift to clean energy.
But is it enough? David Wessel is director of the Hutchins Center on Fiscal and Monetary Policy at the Brookings Institution.
It's clearly designed to do two things. One is to make Americans think that the president's on the case. He's trying to bring down gas prices. And two, by working with our allies, including China, he's sending a signal to OPEC that we're taking this seriously. If you won't increase production, we'll release the reserves.
Biden also this week renominated Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, who kept interest rates low during the pandemic to foster consumer confidence. And his administration has been working to fix supply chain issues that have kept goods off shelves. And he is pushing a $1.75 trillion social spending and climate bill that, if it passes the Senate, would help transform the American economy. On Tuesday, Biden noted that the world's largest economy has emerged from the pandemic better than expected.
The fact is, America has a lot to be proud of. We're experiencing the strongest economic recovery in the world. Even after accounting for inflation, our economy is bigger and our families have more money in their pockets than they did before the pandemic. And America is the only major economy in the world that can say that.
But economists say even the U.S. economy is no match for the simple forces of supply and demand. That might need more work to fix. Desmond Lachman is a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute.
The Federal Reserve's continuing to buy huge amounts of bonds, that interest rates are at very low levels. And meanwhile, the government has had the largest budget stimulus package in peacetime. So when you've got that combination and then you run into supply side problems because of global supply chain, stuff of that sort, what you've got is you've got a situation where you've got a lot of demand and you've got too little supply. And basically, that's forcing up prices.
So will U.S. consumers be spared the pinch this holiday season? Biden hopes so.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Anita Powell, VOA News, the White House.
Still to come on VOA Asia, farmers in India keep up the pressure on the government for changes. Happening now in Asia, dozens of Filipino protesters marched to the Chinese consulate in Manila Wednesday, a week after China's Coast Guard used water cannons to force Philippine supply boats to turn back from their trek to a military base on Second Thomas Shoal, sparking outrage and warnings from Manila. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Continuing now with VOA Asia, Indian farmers have welcomed Prime Minister Narendra Modi's decision to repeal three controversial farm laws that had led to the longest and largest protest against his government. However, as Anjana Pasricha reports, the farmers plan to continue to keep pressure on the government to meet other key demands.
These celebrations at protest sites near Delhi mark the victory farmers from North India have won with Prime Minister Narendra Modi's recent decision to repeal three contentious farm laws.
The truth always prevails. Our struggle was for a true cause. We were fighting for our rights. It was a peaceful but strong protest. This is a victory of the nation, the farmers.
It was a hard-won battle for farmers who camped and cooked on highways for a year, fearing that the pro-market reforms passed last year posed a threat to their land and livelihood.
This is the first time that the government has conceded to protesters' demands. Otherwise, dissenters are always chased away by police. But we, the Sikh community, were prepared to die for our cause.
But despite the rollback of the laws, it is uncertain when the protracted standoff will be over. Having savored victory, farmers are pressing for other concessions, such as a legal commitment for guaranteed prices for all farm produce, a system prevalent only for some crops like rice and wheat.
Farmers from all over the country have supported our cause. Now we have to make sure everyone gets a guaranteed price for their crop.
The capitulation on the farm laws by Modi, a leader who seldom backs down, is widely attributed to the need to regain their support ahead of elections in key states. Farmers are a huge voting bloc.
The Prime Minister has stooped to conquer. I think he's calculated the balance of advantage lay in taking a back step than to continue with the standoff that had taken place.
But the year-long protest that weathered a harsh winter, summer, and even a pandemic has frayed trust between the farmers and the government. Days after the Prime Minister urged them to go home, they are still huddled along the highways.
Until we see in writing that the laws have been repealed by Parliament and the order is signed by the President, we will not vacate the highways.
The key question is, can Prime Minister Modi rebuild their trust and restore his image as a pro-farmer leader in the coming months? Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news alert from VOA Asia. High school students in Vietnam's capital, Hanoi, received their first Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine doses after the city Tuesday began vaccination for anyone 12 to 17 years old to curb the coronavirus spread and to reopen schools. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Welcome back to VOA Asia. China's foreign ministry warned Tuesday against politicizing and speculating about the whereabouts and well-being of Chinese tennis star Peng Shuai, who had not been seen publicly for several weeks after accusing a former high-ranking politician of sexual assault. Zhao Lijian said, "We are firmly opposed to any words and deeds that politicize sports in violation of spirits of the Olympic Charter. Such behaviors of hyping will only undermine the interests of all athletes. This is not a diplomatic issue. As you may have noticed, she attended some public activities recently." Chinese state media have released more video of Peng showing the Chinese tennis star appearing at a junior tournament in Beijing on Sunday morning. She had not been seen since earlier this month after she accused Zhang Gaolai, a former Chinese vice premier, of forcing her to have sex several years ago. Her absence from public sight had prompted international demands for Chinese officials to account for her safety. Peng's disappearance and accusation against the former Chinese official occurred as Beijing prepares to host the Winter Olympics starting on February 4th, amid international condemnation of China's human rights record. Meanwhile, the women's professional tennis tour threatened to pull events out of China unless Peng's safety was assured. Health officials in South Korea say Delta-driven coronavirus infections spiked in the country Wednesday, setting a record high since the start of the pandemic. A senior official at the South Korean Health Ministry said, "We continue to be in the difficult situations where more than 4,000 infections occur, and the number of patients in serious conditions are increasing. In particular, we are seeing an increasing trend in the number of infections occurred from nursing hospitals and nursing facilities where vaccinations took place during the first half of this year." The Korea Disease and Control Prevention Agency said most of the new 4,116 cases came from the capital, Seoul, and its surrounding metropolitan region, where an increase in hospitalizations has raised concerns about possible shortages in intensive care units. The jump in coronavirus cases follows the relaxation of social distancing guidelines in recent weeks to improve South Korea's economy. Making headlines in Asia, the family of late South Korean ex-president Chun Doo-hwan continued to accept visitors Wednesday at his funeral wake. The former military strongman took power in a 1979 coup and brutally crushed pro-democracy protests before going to prison for misdeeds in office. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you're listening to VOA Asia. Nearly 2 years into the COVID-19 pandemic, the United States is facing a crisis in the medical field. Many of the country's 4 million nurses are leaving the industry, putting patients at risk. VOA's Carolyn Pursuti looks at where the healthcare industry is headed.
A veteran emergency room nurse we will call Clara is so worried about her profession that what she's about to say could get her fired. Many months into the COVID-19 pandemic, Clara says hospitals are so short-staffed that patients are dying in the emergency room who might otherwise be saved, including one of her female patients.
Ultimately, by the time someone was able to get to her, she was at a point of disrepair. That's the best way I can describe that. We weren't able to fix her. And ultimately, she died. That's hard to carry.
Family members are sent to hospital parking lots for lack of space as the sick wait most of the day to be seen.
People are literally shoulder to shoulder. You could be sitting next to someone that is COVID positive and you're not. It could be 6, 8, 10, 12, 16 hours before you get that care that you need to get better.
You heard right. She said up to 16 hours before any treatment.
It definitely is a crisis.
Abigail Donnelly left the hospital ICU earlier this year to create the advocacy group Impact in Healthcare to fight for policy change. She spoke on Skype.
Nursing ratios are terrible. The workload has become unbearable. Nurses are getting hit. They're being verbally abused.
The American Nurses Foundation says COVID is causing 9 out of 10 nurses to consider leaving their hospital jobs. Half say that inadequate staffing is the main reason. So where are they going?
Travel nursing.
Michelle doesn't want us to give her real name because she's in the minority of nurses who are unvaccinated. She left her hospital when a COVID vaccine mandate was introduced. An agency hired her as a travel nurse to fly wherever she is needed for short contracts.
I'll literally be making in 1 week what it takes me a month to earn.
Nurse Johnny Sorber loves his New Jersey job and his colleagues. The nurse in the middle left for a travel nurse job in Alaska that pays $10,000 a week.
It's just absurd.
Yet tempting for Sorber and his young family. Sorber says hospitals need to find a way to retain and lessen the stress on veteran nurses.
I think just higher pay. At least something. Like higher pay. And there's always a shortage of nurses. If you could, like, get the right amount of nurses so you don't actually have to work harder.
We asked the American Hospital Association about that idea, higher pay and more nurses. They had no official comment, but sent VOA a document asking Congress and the Biden administration to intervene, to, quote, use its authority to investigate anti-competitive pricing, unquote, from agencies hiring travel nurses. But for now, some hospital nurses are at the point of complete exhaustion with compassion fatigue, a lowered ability to empathize. They were thrown into a pandemic war beyond their control and are still fighting with ever fewer staff.
So
just try to be kind. We want to do what's best for you, and where we're at right now in healthcare is really scary.
For nurses and their patients. Carolyn Pursuti, VOA News.
Finally on VOA Asia, in the U.S. capital of Washington, D.C., Smithsonian museums are major tourist draws. For the Smithsonian's 175th anniversary, the 140-year-old Arts and Industries building that has been closed for renovation since 2004 is reopening temporarily with an exhibition called Futures. Karina Bafrajan visited the museum and has this story.
The Arts and Industries Building in Washington, the Smithsonian's second oldest museum, has been closed for renovation since 2004, but it is opening temporarily to celebrate the Smithsonian's 175th anniversary with an exhibition called Futures.
You know, I hope visitors leave here with the ability to imagine the future they want and not the future they fear. You know, we spend so much time being worried about the future, and that's valid, but we also need to spend time imagining what's possible and getting excited about the solutions and big ideas that are on the horizon.
The exhibition includes 150 pieces that look at what is possible in the future, from flying cars to climate change, to the superheroes of tomorrow. American artist Tammy Cotille uses augmented reality to imagine future cities.
We chose the topic then rewilding as a way that the city of Washington, D.C. could address the future and try and make the city, instead of being sort of a concrete jungle where nature stops and is blocked, make it permeable to nature. It's not just about having pretty flowers in the garden, but it's allowing nature really to retake the city, and that means that the insects, not just our favorite butterflies or whatever, but also the creepy crawly insects or the annoying insects also need space, because it's that whole ecosystem that preserves nature.
Other showpieces include Hyperloop train project and a Me Plus You two-story installation that reflects on the interconnection between human wisdom and intelligent technology. Artist Natrice Gaskins says she cannot imagine a future without classic art. However, she used computer technology to help present 11 portraits.
I'm collaborating with artificial intelligence, so it's a new way of creating portraiture. So there's a human element of the machine when the artist collaborates with the AI. And so I've really been exploring that in my work, is how portraiture can be sort of taken into another unknown kind of zone, as opposed to the more conventional ways of creating portraits in the past.
At the Futures exhibition, visitors can touch the showpieces, play with them, and even talk with them. The curators and museum directors say they believe future art spaces will be more interactive. The exhibition and the museum will remain open until July 2022. Then the building will close again for renovation for a few more years. Karina Bafrajan for VOA News, Washington.
Read and see more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook. That's all the time we have for today's VOA Asia. Make sure you find us on all our social media platforms. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, Amy Hybels, and Jessica Stone. I'm Chris Cascao in Washington. Enjoy the day, stay safe, and be well.